This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. It's all about solo travel freedom. Now, I'm afraid I didn't get to travel solo until my late 20s. Well, I say I didn't get to. I didn't want to. To be honest, I was actually kind of too scared. Looking back now, I find that hard to believe, but I really did feel that I guess I wasn't capable of doing it, and I was too anxious about all of the things that can go wrong. But of course, I'm way past that now, and I do relish the occasional solo trips I get to do. Usually my son's with me these days, which is fun too, but I also take a great delight in imagining future decades when he's grown up and doesn't want to come with me anymore, and I'll be able to take some more extended solo journeys, and I really do look forward to some of those. Solo travel is particularly special, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So today's three guests, they all agree there's something wonderful about solo travel, and perhaps many wonderful things about solo travel, but their stories are all very different. Now, my first guest today is Abby Lutis, who you might remember from the episode with her bobsledding experience in Europe and North America. And I chatted to Abby about her first big solo trip.
My biggest solo trip was to South America, and it was quite interesting because I was inspired to go by my cousin. And we had a pact after we studied together after high school that we would go to Europe. And instead, I fell in love. I didn't hold my end of the bargain up, and off she went. And off she went, and she came back and went again and came back. And I just said, "Oh, I don't think this type of travel is for me." And anyway, so finally, she convinced me to go, and off I was going. And it was a couple of nights before I was, you know, packing my life into my backpack, and she came over and she said, "I can't believe what you're doing. You're so brave to go off in the world." And I said to her, "Hang on a minute, you did it." And she said, "Yeah, but I never left on my own. I always left with a friend, and, you know, maybe we got into the country and went our separate ways." And so I just almost flipped out. But
I bet.
It was quite an interesting time, but, you know, when I was setting off on that first solo adventure, because I had all these fears and worries, and like, I just want to be there, and I don't want to have to go through those initial awkward, you know, moments of getting into the country and not knowing what to do, because I was flying into Argentina, so I didn't even speak the language. But yeah, and it's just sort of funny what popped up along the way. We ended up having our flight redirected, and we had to land, instead of flying into Buenos Aires, we landed in Chile, and ended up meeting a bunch of friends from the plane ride. And by the time we stayed in a hotel there overnight and finally got to Buenos Aires, we'd made a whole bunch of friends along the way.
Oh,
and
so wonderful.
By the time I'd got to my final destination, all that what I'd worried about was never an issue. And so things just happen as they're meant to, and moved through that, and or didn't even really experience what I thought was going to come up.
That's so often the case, because I often get anxious or worried before a trip for various reasons depending on the trip, and I do often tell myself, like, I just tried, but mostly I just try to block those thoughts because I know that they're pretty useless, and that within hours after arriving I'll feel totally okay and all of that stuff will be gone. But it still comes up every time, and I've traveled heaps. And it depends where I go. But especially like since I've had my son, then if he's coming with me, then there's this whole extra layer of worries and stuff. And we've never had any problems, you know. But it still just happens because you're stepping outside your regular comfort zone, I suppose.
Yeah, and it really is that fear of the unknown. And I still have those moments too when I'm setting off to travel, and whether I'm going with friends or solo, it's the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think a lot of the time we hear these stories, these horrible stories of things that have happened to people, and we hang on to them, yet we, you know, don't often dive into the beautiful and amazing stories because everything just ran so perfectly. So.
Yeah, that's right. You don't hear about the 999 flights that went smoothly. You only hear about the one that got diverted and had a near crash landing or something. So
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, particularly solo travel, and I have to say, I don't know now, since I became a mum, I'm much more anxiety prone, I think, but I'm not sure I would take off to South America on my own, because that just does seem like, it seems like there's a lot that could go wrong there.
Yeah, well, I sort of picked it because there was so much that I wanted to do there, and it looked really adventurous and lots of nature, and you know, it just looked fun, and
and it turned out to be great, obviously.
Oh, it turned out to be amazing. Like, it brought me so much, and I think I was 28 when I went there, and I was really surprised. I met an 18-year-old, and I just thought, wow. Oh my goodness, how can you just be so independent? And she just had no fear, and she was traveling solo as well. But I think at the end of the day, are we ever really traveling solo? Because there's always people that we pick up and meet along the way, and you know, on that solo trip, I was always going somewhere with someone. I mean, there were periods of time where I was on my own on bus rides, but you know, you get to the next place and you pretty much meet people instantly and share stories, and it's just a really beautiful experience.
From the rest of my chats with Abby, I know that, I consider her a very adventurous traveller and adventurous person, so it's kind of reassuring to me to hear that she shares with me these kinds of pre-trip fears and worries, and I know my best strategy is only just to pretend that I'm not thinking those thoughts, because there's no point to them at all. They don't change anything, and once I get somewhere, everything's okay. It's always the way. So it's kind of crazy. I also liked how Abby said that really you're never traveling solo. I mean, I guess there's some extreme cases where you are, but pretty much if you head out solo around the world somewhere, you're going to meet people. And that's definitely one of the highlights of solo travel. And that is a case in point from my next guest, Hayden Lee. You might remember Hayden. He is the host of the Travel Stories podcast, and he always has some great stories to tell. And this is one about a time when he was traveling solo in Vietnam.
I just got into Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, right? And as is the case when you get into a new place, it wasn't meant to rhyme. I was looking for, you know, a hotel, a hostel, I didn't do hotels, but a hostel, or, you know, looking to meet people, or, you know, just looking around, just the first glimpse of this new place. You know, what am I going to do today? What's going to happen, right? And it must have been maybe within 10 minutes of being in the actual city itself. I was walking along, had my bag on my back, you know, and this bloke, this guy, he rides up next to me on this motorbike and says, hey, hey, hey. And this happens all the time. Mm. You know, it's always people wanting something, or people wanting to talk or anything like that, right? So I kind of brushed him off in a way at first. At first, I was like, nah, man, I'm good, you know. And he was like, no. I was like, nah, dude, I want to go check stuff out. And then he handed me a book, right? He gets this book out of his jacket and hands it to me. And this, the you know, none of the other blokes were doing this. So I thought, let's check this out. So I open up this book. And the first thing I read is, if you're reading this, you're standing in front of Captain Kim. Go with this man. You can trust him with your life.
No way. Right? Is this one of those stories that nobody believes?
Man, no one believes any of my stories.
I love it. Okay, sorry. I won't interrupt. Keep going.
This is the reason I started the podcast. I'm like, telling all these stories, and like the reactions I get are either like, yeah, I don't care, or like, that's not true, so I don't care. I'm like, man, I need to talk to people who's like, who've like seen stuff like this and know that it's out there, you know. So where was
I believe you continue. So go with this man.
Yeah, go with this man, right? And at first, well, I'm a weird guy, so at first I was instantly like, well, I'm definitely going with this man. So, but then I turned the page, right? And it's the same thing, but in German, right? And luckily I speak German, so I could tell what it said. I turned the page, Spanish, turned the page, French, turned the page, another English one, turned the page, another German, then a Portuguese one. And they were all saying the same thing. They're all saying, you know, Captain Kim, I trust him more than I trust my own mother, you know, everything like this. And so none of it said why or what he did.
Yeah. Just go with him.
Just go with this man. Mm. And I loved the ambiguity of it. I loved the not knowing. We've talked about this before. I loved the not knowing. And I loved the feeling of this could, you know, like this guy could just be some awesome polyglot that speaks all these languages and writes in a variety of handwriting. You know,
that would be a lot of effort to go to, but yeah, it's possible.
Exactly, but you know, if you need a kidney, you need a kidney, right? So anyway, so yeah, so I decided I'll go with this man, right? So I hop on the back of his bike, right? And he doesn't speak a lot of English, like hardly any. He could speak, you know, a few words here and there. And at that point, I'd only just arrived in Vietnam, so mm-hmm. I could count to a million. That's something I do to every, you know, mm-hmm. every new country I go, learn to count to a million. It sounds hard. It's only like 14 words or something. So incredibly.
And their prices get up to millions, don't they? There.
So, exactly.
Yeah, it's important exactly. in Vietnam.
Exactly. So yeah, so I knew that and a couple of things, right? I learned the word for vegetarian because I found that I would need that, right? Mm-hmm. I cannot remember it now, so I'm going to have to learn it again. But I hopped on his bike and we started going and we promptly exited Saigon and we were heading on the highways, right? And about 2 hours down the road, we hadn't stopped yet, and about 2 hours down the road, I began thinking, I wonder where I am. Or
only 2 hours down the road, you thought, started thinking this.
Yeah, I'm a trusting guy. I'm a trusting guy. So I was thinking, I wonder, A, where I am, B, where I'm going, and C, who this man is. Hmm. And
me too.
And so, yeah, right? And so eventually we get into a rural setting. And I realized that I thought that we'd gone south and we'd headed to the Mekong. We had headed down there and down to the places that I cannot remember the name of now. And I was right. We had gone down there and we went down this gravel track, you know, and we're really getting into the thick of it now. And he pulls up at this house and then we get off the bike. This is the first we'd talked in a while. And we get off the bike and we go into this house and his wife's there. And she's got some food on, right? She's got some noodles ready. And that's when I learned that for the next 3 days, he was going to show me the Mekong Delta. He was going to show me all the islands. He was going to show me everything that there is to see. And he would show me this culture, this part of this country that I'd only just arrived in, that not a lot of people get to see unless they're with some, you know, package tour or something like that. And he just wanted to invite me in his home to, you know, we were going to eat and he was going to show me everything there is to see there. We were going to go in the boats. We were going to go into the markets, the floating markets. Mm. And that's exactly what we did. That's exactly what we did. And he showed me absolutely everything there is to see. And I bought a motorcycle down there. And we just became mates. We became friends during this thing. And we could have that exchange of culture. It was just, we were just two people in a boat in the middle of the Mekong Delta. I felt a little bit like Rambo, which was amazing. But we were just two people just thrust together through a simple act of trust. Yeah. If I didn't trust this man, then this wouldn't have happened.
That's amazing.
And I think, yeah, and if I weren't traveling solo, then this opportunity, A, wouldn't have made itself available because you can't fit, well, yeah. You can't fit more than two people on a bike in Vietnam. But
I'm sure he would just be looking for solo people. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also it's that if you're traveling with people, it's harder to not have plans.
Yes.
Because I find that at least one of you, or maybe not even concrete plans, but you'd go, hey, we should go see this. And then it's kind of a half plan then, you know? So for me, traveling solo is vital for my feeling of freedom.
Yeah. Well, because then you can make spontaneous decisions like, yes, I'll go with this guy. Even if he was in a car but you're with someone else, then you have to negotiate, shall we go with him or shall we not? And blah, blah, blah. And half the time you wouldn't end up saying yes. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I do consider myself a traveller who's up for not quite anything, but lots of things. But Hayden, to me, is a true adventurer. I would never in a million years, I don't think, hop on this stranger's motorbike. But as Hayden proved, it was a great decision. I love the way he tells that story. Now, a final guest today is Carly Findlay, and she's done a couple of solo trips, and probably more similar to the kind of solo trips I've done, where I'm travelling alone but often meeting up with different people along the way, or attending a conference, or travelling on my own for some other reason. And she talks about how she's been able to meet a number of people that she's got to know through her blog and the ichthyosis community on her solo trips.
I travelled solo twice. The first time I travelled solo, I went to England, and I was a bit annoyed because my mum was very well-meaning, but she was worried about me. So she hijacked my trip. So I was due to go to the US to go to a blogging conference in 2012. And she's like, oh, I'm coming too. And I'm like, oh, gosh. Uh-huh. So she thought that I would get sick or something and I needed her. And meanwhile, I was 30 years old. And look, she came and it was great. I think we had a lot of arguments because she got an iPad and she didn't know how to use it. So all the arguments that we had was over like not being able to use the iPad. And it was lovely to have those times with her. But before I arrived in America, I went to the UK. I had to tack on the UK on my trip because I got asked to talk at an event there. Wow. So I did have that time traveling on my own, and I was just so excited. I was just wide-eyed. And, oh, my God, I'm traveling alone. How exciting. And
it's a great feeling, isn't it?
Before. Oh, yeah,
right.
You just think,
so first time
abroad. Yeah, so that was my first time.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. And, you know, on my form, I wrote instead of public servant that I was a writer on my occupation form, you know.
Very exciting.
And that was great. Nothing bad happened. Oh, I stayed with a friend who lived out of London, about 40 kilometres out of London or 40 minutes out of London, and she. Like, so they lived there, and then I had to go to Bristol one day to stay for 3 days. So I was buying something on my way to Paddington Station, and I left my wallet at the shop.
Oh, no.
And I was like 500 metres away from the shop. I went to buy something else. I'm like, well, my wallet's not in my bag. So I ran back. And the wallet was still on the top of the thing,
oh,
the
wow.
counter at the shop. It's quite a rough area. I was so scared. And I'm, oh, my God, I would have had to go all the way back, miss my train.
Oh,
to
imagine
Bristol.
The hassle and everything.
And I know.
Oh.
And you know how expensive it is to book a train at last minute or change the time or whatever in London, in England, because of their train system. So, yeah, so that was a bit scary. And then, so I got to, I remember going to LA and New York, and I was so excited about going to New York. Like, I'd booked nearly a year prior, and it was so hot, and I met my mom, and I was a bit sick from travel as well.
Mm.
And it just wasn't what I imagined. Like, I felt like I was missing London. I just loved it so much. And I was pining for, even though I'd only been there for 3 weeks, I was pining
it was
for it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so New York just wasn't what I imagined it would be. I didn't love the blog conference that I went to.
That doesn't help.
I didn't. Yeah, it just wasn't really. I mean, I met a few nice friends from America there, and I saw some Australian people, but I think I'd built it up in my mind that it was going to be so amazing.
The expectations sometimes can be too high. And
it was really hot. I mean, I think we enjoyed it more because we were in New York again for 6 weeks, for 3 weeks, so mum and I, but we had an Airbnb, and it wasn't great. It wasn't as advertised. It didn't have a kitchen. It had a kitchen, but it wasn't working. Like, the stove buttons were coming off, and the toilet was really in the bathroom. You could touch your knees on the you know, on the wall in front of you, and the shower didn't work, and there was no air conditioning. It was like 42 degrees or something when we were there. So it was, and there was, there was no lift either. So it was six flights of stairs.
Oh, wow.
And so we're just like, okay, so we're not going to stay here. So we went to stay in a hotel together with mum, which was good.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But again, it added the cost to our trip, but it was a very nice hotel. So that was good, like traveling alone. And then I went again. I went for 7 weeks on my own in 2014, so 3 years ago now. The memories just keep popping up on Facebook, actually.
Oh, I love when that happens.
I know, but I get a bit sad as well. But it was so good. I went to five states in America, and I stayed with people that I'd met through blogging and through the ichthyosis community. So that was great. I went to San Francisco, met two people that I knew through blogging there. I mean, I met made more friends as well, but I met three people actually who had ichthyosis there, which was great. And then I went to Chicago, where I met a family, and their three kids have ichthyosis, and that was lovely. And I met Jenny, who runs a website called Chronic Babe, so she's a chronic illness blogger.
Oh,
so we went
name.
Out to a party. Yeah, it was great. And actually it was funny because, like, it was right after MH370 went missing. And Prime Minister Tony Abbott was in the news a lot. And I remember hearing this woman, like, say, oh, you're from Australia. Have you seen your Prime Minister?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It was quite funny. I think, I mean, well, look at Trump now, but I think Prime Minister was, like, cringeworthy.
He
compared
was.
To their Obama.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. It's all in the contrast, isn't it? That was particularly bad contrast.
Oh, God. So I went to New Orleans, and I actually didn't love it. I was really unsafe. I was traveling alone, and I stayed in an Airbnb, and the woman just was a student. I think she was around 24, and that's all she did to make money was Airbnb. So she'd have different people coming and going.
Wow.
I don't know how she felt safe, because I think in the time I was there, there were three different men in the house. I only met two of them.
Gotcha.
And then on the last day, one guy was sleeping on the couch as I left at 3 a.m. because my flight was really early. That was really weird, to be not knowing who was in the house.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's beyond your control. Yeah. That's not – I wouldn't feel very safe like that. Yeah, I tend to only go Airbnbs that are like the whole place for me I'd be tempted on my own not to.
I think Carly covers the ups and downs of solo travel there pretty well, and I have to agree with her. Very exciting moment to be traveling alone for the first time, but, you know, when things go wrong, it feels more stressful. She mentioned she left her wallet at a shop in London, and I remember so distinctly doing the same in Berlin when I was 14 years old and traveling as part of a school group, but that day I was out with a couple of friends, and then we split up and I was traveling back to my homestay on my own, and I realized that I didn't have my wallet when I was trying to go on the bus. I was like, oh my goodness. And so I raced back, and it was probably half an hour later, but it was still there. Thank you, honest Germans, for not stealing my purse many years ago. So I agree that solo travel is such a different and interesting way to go, and just to be responsible only for yourself. It's such a lovely and in some cases rare opportunity. I don't know if I would want to be traveling solo all the time, but on occasion it's something really magical. In any case, thank you for listening to episode 58 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. A big thank you to my guests. You can find Abby Lutus at abbylutus.com, and you may remember she's conducting a survey on reverse culture shock. It's called Life After Travel. I'll leave a link in the show notes so you can take part in Abby's survey if you have recently come back from living abroad. Hayden, you can find at the Travel Stories Podcast at travelstoriespodcast.com, or look up Travel Stories Podcast on iTunes. I heartily, heartily recommend it. He manages to find and put music to, with the help of his team, some great travel stories from around the world. And Carly's website is at carlyfindlay.com.au. And Carly co-hosts a really great podcast too called Refreshments Provided, which you'll find in iTunes as well. Now, if you have some interesting solo travel experience, I would love to hear about it. The best way is to join our Facebook group at Thoughtful Travelers. Just look it up in Facebook, or I'll also leave a link in the show notes. You can also tweet me at Amanda Kendall and use the hashtag Thoughtful Travel Pod. All of these details and more will be at the show notes at notaballerina.com/58. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.